If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Eric Zorn joins us now, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel, a weekly newsletter. It contains commentary, comedy, and more. He'll sign you up for free if you email ericzorn@gmail.com. Hi, Eric Zorn.
Hi, John Williams. How are you?
Good. You got a secret recipe? If I go to your house and you're cooking, what's the one thing Eric Zorn will feature?
You know what I've been using lately on guests is Kate Plies' macaroni and cheese recipe.
Oh, no kidding.
Before Thanksgiving, remember we were talking on the Mincing Rascals podcast about our various go-to recipes, and she had a great macaroni and cheese recipe that she had gotten from a friend, and she shared it with me, and I did it at our Thanksgiving feast, and it went over really well, and we've served it a couple of times since then to guests, and they love it, and so that's my dish now.
What's the trick? What makes this mac and cheese different?
I think the trick is rather than using milk, she uses heavy cream, and she uses Gruyere cheese, which is a very creamy cheese that goes in there. That, as far as I can tell, that's the secret. And then, of course, it's baked, which is really excellent. So
she doesn't put in any hot spices or anything that changes the flavor profile, huh?
Well, her recipe calls for blue cheese, which not one of my favorites, to put it mildly. So I don't use that, but I think it's the Gruyere, and I think it's the heavy cream. It makes it very rich. Very good for the heart, though.
Blue cheese is probably my favorite food. If you said you get one last thing to eat on Earth, I would say give me a smear of blue cheese on a good crisp apple, and I will die a happy man.
Well, you know, this is interesting that you said that because I was going to put blue cheese. I put a survey in my newsletter last week trying to figure out what foods are kind of in the middle there that about half the people like and half the people don't like. And people had suggested blue cheese, and I thought, well, no, that's going to be like 20% of the people like blue cheese. That's not going to count. But I think I'm going to add it. I'm going to do another survey this week. I'm going to post the results of last week's survey, and then I'm going to add some other foods that I want to see how people feel about. This all came out of Mary Schmeek's post recently on Facebook, where she said that she doesn't like eggs. She has a strong aversion to eggs. And I thought, well, who doesn't like eggs? My God, you know? And she posted this, and something like 400 comments later, people were just still going on about it. So I posted about that. I got about 250 comments about it. People are just love to talk about what they love and what they hate in foods. And people are all over the place.
You know, keep going, Eric.
No. And so I posted a survey. I'm trying to figure out, like, well, what, you know, how unusual are my tastes? What do people love and what do people hate just in general? I got about, you know, well over 1,000 responses to this survey. So,
and you said, okay, the food preference survey, most liked to least liked consumables, 91% of the respondents said they liked eggs, 80% shrimp, 77% mushrooms, 77% spinach. Wow, I do not like spinach.
I was surprised by the mushroom score, the shrimp score. I thought shrimp was a pretty controversial food.
Yeah. Well, like or support are different things. Like to eat it, don't love that we're doing that to the seas, maybe would be another issue. But I also think that if you said like chicken or cornflakes, everybody likes them, but do they love them? I think blue cheese would be something that people like an extraordinary amount for a small part of the population.
Like, well, I give people three choices. I said, you know, you like it, you avoid it, or there's a sort of middle ground with food, which is like, you're never going to order it or like ask for it, but if it's served to you, you'll eat it. And that's, you know, one of the foods that came in right in the middle was lima beans, which most people don't like lima beans. You see, it's at the bottom of my list of responses. There are only 29% of people like it, but 34% of people say they would eat lima beans, but they would never ask for them. And that was by far the highest score in that category. So, you know, it's like lima beans, people are like, no thanks, but I'll choke it down.
Right. Well, I will weave it into that thing we're having, but I don't even know what a lima bean tastes like. It's just something that's good for me, and now it's in the salad or the soup, something like that.
Right.
I don't know, you got to carve out a question about blue cheese. It would be like, is blue cheese the greatest thing on earth? Yes or no?
So, okay, here's what I got. Here's what I got for this Thursday's survey. Cauliflower, asparagus, eggplant, blue cheese. Then I got plant-based beef, like Impossible Beyond Burgers, which I love, and beets, which I do not love. I just want to find out, because I've sort of identified sushi as, I think, the kind of the middle ground food where 46% of people like it, and a small percentage of people will eat it, but most people don't like it. Not most people. Most people don't like it. So it's just one of those foods that's right in the middle. So if you're going to have guests over, sushi's a risky choice.
You noted that the president tweeted, "He who saves his country does not violate any law." And that's a quote that I have seen attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte. That may not be exactly what Bonaparte said, but you get the idea. He who saves his country does not violate any law. And Trump has been shielded from laws for a variety of reasons, including the fact that he's president and was president, and also from the fact that some courts just don't seem to be pressing him on enforcing the law. What was your reaction to this latest tweet?
Well, I had a really strong negative reaction to it, and maybe I was lunging at the bait that he was dropping into the water. I don't know, but he, when he says that he who saves his country does not violate any law, my first thought goes to his view of the January 6th rioters, and you know, some of those men beat the crap out of police officers on their way trying to fight their way into the Capitol, and he pardoned all of them for that because they were violating the law, clearly, but in the service, in Trump's mind, of saving their country. And I think this not only gives license, this statement not only gives license to him to do whatever he wants, which is clearly what he wants to do, but it also gives license to anyone who supports him. That he just, you know, he pardoned not too long ago, he pardoned people who were convicted of blockading and invading an abortion facility, a women's health clinic. He just pardoned them, feeling like, well, they're trying to save the country in his mind, and so they can go ahead and break the laws that were passed by Congress about protecting women's health clinics, things like that. And I feel like he's given license to violent behavior for his supporters if they can plausibly say that it is in service of his agenda. And that's why the thing is so scary to me. I mean, you saw that Reince Priebus, the Republican who served in his first administration, he downplayed this. He said it was just entertainment for Trump and catnip for the media. But I'm not in the position anymore where I think like, oh, we can just laugh off some of the nuttier things that Trump says. I think that there's nothing that he has done or said that makes me think that he doesn't believe this, that he doesn't believe that the president is above the law. That if you remember, Richard Nixon said, when the president does it, it means it's not illegal. That was Nixon's view of presidential prerogative. This seems to be Trump's view of it also. We do not live in a dictatorship.
But presidential prerogative is a thing. Is a thing.
Well, there is prerogative, sure, but we have three co-equal branches of government, and in fact, Congress is supposed to be the one that has the preeminent power, the one that controls the purse strings and can impeach a president and so on. The fact that the Congress is just lying down and not doing anything is very dismaying, but I do feel like Trump has this view of executive power that goes beyond the view that any president so far has had.
Yeah.
And we're in an interesting spot in our history right now.
I suppose you could imagine a circumstance, though. This is just an exercise here where breaking the law in the service of saving the country is justified. Maybe would even be deemed forgivable, you know, legal, if you will. You know, the troops are invading and I've got to blow up this store to fire back at them. I'm just making this up as I go. But I mean, in saving the country, we will allow you to break the law, because what do we have if we lose the country? And Donald Trump and some in the Republican Party have expressed to the American people that what we're going through now is an existential crisis, that we are losing America. We have to save it. That sounds like nonsense to me, but that's that's the sort of platform upon which maybe that statement of his makes some sense.
Well, I have gotten some pushback from people who said, well, what about civil disobedience? What about Rosa Parks?
Okay, there you go.
She violated the law. But that was arguably and demonstrably an unjust law. Civil disobedience.
No, you don't get that, Eric. It's well, you're judging the law. I agree with you on that, but I mean, it was the law, right? So that's the that's the principle.
Right, but and also Rosa Parks was comparatively powerless compared to the president of the United States. So the president violating laws protected by the color of the federal government is a lot different than Rosa Parks violating the law about where African Americans.
Do you think that some of the people on January 6th thought they were doing their patriotic duty?
Oh, absolutely they did. They totally believed that. And that's why it's scary because, okay, so someone can go and shoot up an abortion clinic now, and that's in service. Or they can go ahead and take target practice on people who they think are here in the country without legal authorization because they're saving the country. And if Donald Trump agrees with them, then, I mean, and he's saying if you're taking an act to save the country, then you're not breaking any laws. And if you let that definition be broad enough, then you're in real trouble.
And it's not just are you taking an act to save the country, it's do you believe you are? And shooting up an abortion clinic does not protect anybody. That's not saving the country. It's, you know, that's unquestionably in violation of every law and ethic and moral value that you would have.
And to you and me, yeah, but to someone who believes that abortion is a great Holocaust and must be stopped,
yeah.
No, I think it is saving the country. They say it's saving the country from this terrible sin of abortion.
Yeah, but I'm not granting them that luxury. I mean, they can have their beliefs, but they live in the United States and they don't get to be independent law deciders, right, Eric?
Well, exactly, but that's what they did on January 6th. They decided that the election was stolen and they wanted to preserve it. And that's they thought that they were fighting to save the country.
I want to go back to the but that tweet by the president, he who saves his country does not violate any law, is what you and I are talking about. But yeah, I think that's him just trolling you a little bit.
It could be. I mean, but I don't know what it is that he has done. What is it? What in his record suggests to you that he's only kidding or that he's yanking my chain or your chain?
Canada. Canada's not going to become a state.
Oh, that's just something that he's not going to try to do because he's going to realize that the expense of conquering Canada, which he would have to do, Canada's not going to play along with this.
Okay.
Is wildly out of proportion. But I think he would love to have Canada. I think that's in his heart. He would love to just annex Canada.
I don't know if I would mind it either, but that's not the point. So there he is saying something that you don't need to take so seriously. And this regal statement about how he's above the law, A, he is a little bit, too bad for all of us, but that statement, I don't know. Listen, Eric, I know what's going on. I see what's going on. I appreciate the seriousness, the pivot point that this country is at right now. But I think that if you fight every firefly that flicks by, you won't get much done. And this statement, however indicative of his mindset, is not something that warrants all of your angst.
You know, this is exactly the thought process that I had yesterday when I was writing this, which is like, should I just ignore this? Is this one of these things that should we just focus on what Trump does rather than what he says, which is what some political advisors are saying. It's like, just don't worry about all the nutty things that he tweets and says, focus on what he does. But I do feel like what he says, what he tweets, is really a signal for what he is going to do and what we have to be on our guard for.
Yeah.
I mean, we are facing a potential constitutional crisis. If the moment he starts disobeying federal court orders, which I think is a day that's coming close.
Oh yeah,
we really have to worry. So,
or starts obeying them. That line will be drawn in the sand by the Supreme Court. So we will have a real moment of truth here very, very soon. All right, I'm out of time today, Eric. You and I will visit next week on The Mincing Rascals. I'm sorry you won't be able to join the panel this week.
Yeah, I'm out doing a music gig tomorrow. So.
A man of many talents. He thinks big thoughts, that Eric Zorn. You can subscribe to his newsletter, the Picayune Sentinel, just by emailing ericzorn@gmail.com, and he'll fire one off to you. Okay, Mr. Z, have fun at your thing.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
He's the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel.